gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. Yeah!
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
I just did that. I did that. I added that orally. Cool. I did that orally.
We do quite a meet and grow before the show.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Wednesday, do we? Yeah,
it's absolutely. It's like a slow motion of a cheetah taking down a gazelle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just I want it. I want it.
Rolling in the air.
Oh, you caught me.
Yeah, right. We never hit ground.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Sink into forbidden flesh.
Chris, you were saying, and this is true, people that don't normally pay attention to politics like we are, friends
right.
of yours.
Yeah, you know, Facebook friends of mine who aren't political people in the least.
They're slowly waking up. They're blinky.
They're realizing, hey, something's going on in D.C. Right. Why are things not moving in D.C.?
And as Hal said, head freshly pulled from ass.
Right. Then you'll hear all sorts of noise. The first time your head is actually removed from your rectum.
Yeah.
You'll go, wow, I can hear traffic. And who's in the house?
What?
What are these creaking floorboards?
What? How did these asshat Republicans get in charge? What the? You know what it is?
All I did was not show up.
Well, I, first of all, clearly Boner is drunk, so am I at this point. But I was stumbling around before the show trying to find the movie reference with the game of chicken or the car over a cliff or something.
Whatever.
Wherever. But it's like you're waking up in the back of the car. This is what people are doing.
Oh,
What's going? Oh. Wait a minute.
Game of Chicken?
It's either
a James Dean movie or Thelma and Louise. I can't decide. It's a game of chicken or a car race, Thelma and someone goes over the.
Well, Footloose had a game of chicken with tractors.
Yes.
All right, that mixed with Tootsie's. Tootsie's the driving cat.
Yeah, holding out for a hero was.
That's where they used that song. How sad. It is. I say.
What happened in the tractor race? I can't remember.
There we go.
It's Marcus Bachman. Hang on.
They're literally on tractors during this part of it.
Let me get my migraine pills. Go ahead, Marcus. Marcus!
Where have all the good men gone?
Oh,
and where are all the gods?
Oh, please, God, let them make their migraine pills.
Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Wear these pants with that shirt.
And
they're a white knight
because
I lean that way.
Okay.
Just saying he has a type.
Yeah.
I will go with Lost Boys if you're shooting for the game of chicken thing where
they were vampires. They flew out of the car.
No, but he wasn't a vampire yet. Jason Patrick's character didn't know he was up against vampires who have nothing to lose by driving off a cliff.
It's just what happened.
Hello,
you're safely
a perfect analogy.
Sleeping.
Again, high five myself.
You're safely sleeping in the back of the Ford Pinto in the 70s on a car ride with your family. When suddenly you're like, what? And your parents have gotten drunk and gotten into a game of chicken with someone, and then someone hits the back of the car, and I...
You know what it is? It's Dumb and Dumber. The part where he takes the wrong turn and he's driving the opposite way from Denver.
You're going the wrong way.
We're
in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as well.
How do they know which way we're going?
What? You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific. Thank you.
You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody. You're going the wrong way.
Horn. Drama sting.
Yeah.
To the devil.
Yeah.
Alternatively, the people that are waking up are saying, those aren't pillows. It's not. It's every horrible nightmare you ever...
Exactly. About someone who shouldn't be driving the car.
That's
driving
right.
the car. Essentially, here's what our government has boiled down to. First of all, you've got taxation without representation and benefit allocation without representation because you have senators like Jim DeMint and his ilk who represent fewer people in their district than are in the county of Los Angeles who have senatorial powers and the ability
A British finance minister said that America's being run by a bunch of right-wing nutters.
Exactly.
I mean, we are literally... in case of the latest, I'm telling you... John Boner has already had, probably two rusty nails this morning.
Yep.
Stung by revelations his plan would cut spending less than advertised, House Speaker Boner
I don't need a rewrite.
Jesus.
Get out. Somebody get a pen. I got a scratch out. Okay, that's not what I meant.
First of all, his plan is awful. Isn't going to happen. And it's still not enough for the Tea Party.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so
they want to cut a trillion, and it's only, what, 800-something billion?
Yeah, oh, boy.
They want to set up a water slide at the border and start chucking people onto it that they don't like. Indigent people, physically ill, the non-productive, elderly, children born of poor parents.
Yeah.
Everybody you don't like, just chuck them onto the slip and slide so they slide into the ocean into Mexico.
Well,
and I never want to see from them again. They're not real Americans. They're
so
takers, not
makers.
He
has now postponed the vote on the debt ceiling measure to, what is it, Thursday now, after running into opposition from the teabagger nutters.
I love that word.
With time running short, he promised to quickly rewrite his debt ceiling legislation. I just pictured him soaked in bourbon and smeared.
I didn't see that.
Bathroom.
No, that's not my fault.
Carry the four divided by
that wasn't the copy you were supposed to get. That was just a text.
The boner's not keeping not doing a good job of keeping his caucus together, is
he?
He
has no control of his caucus.
None
his
whatsoever. All over the place. Yeah. It's just...
Ooh, it's...
It's orange. Yeah. It's an orange caucus.
He wants to show it to the public. Like, he has a... They have a press conference about his caucus every day. He wants to show it to you what's going on with it anyways. But but it's totally useless.
Some men have that problem, but I'm guessing he has never ever hit the toilet in the house bathroom.
Absolutely.
No, it's like, you know what? It's like some sort of squiggly wiggly tilt a whirl gone crazy when you go in there. Good God.
That's a wild caucus.
It's like a fire hose gone mad. People walk in, oh my God, and they probably need several people to get it under control, the caucus.
I don't think so, actually. I think it's just kind
I
think they've given up on it. If you look at really how their vote's going,
it's a tiny orange Cheeto, but it is uncontrollable. So it's even
about,
like, even tweezers to try
now?
To get it. No,
it's like a squiggly wiggly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the thing you can buy when you're vacationing in some touristy spots, which is just a water balloon that's sort of inverted on itself and you can't hold on to it?
Yes.
And that's the joke.
Yes.
That's an airport present.
That's the Republican caucus right now.
Yeah.
That's the legislative effectiveness.
Water weasel.
Water weasel. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
I love this part of the story. For all that, it was the Tea Party back members of Boehner's own party who continued to vex him and heavily influence the debt and deficit negotiating terms, not to mention his chances of hanging on to his speakership. Is it possible the sides are going farther apart?
In the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, here's what I think, and Jay Carney came out yesterday and said, you know, they don't believe they can use the 14th Amendment to raise the debt ceiling. I think they probably can in a pinch, but I think it doesn't serve the president in negotiations
to say that,
to let them think he has a genuine out or believe that he has an out.
Well,
because
he has come out and said he's going to veto this plan. First of all, he's not going to make it.
Never.
Boehner's plan through the House or Senate, but he'll veto it if it does. I mean, it's really. It has gotten to push comes to shove time, but you and I were talking hell, and I think Randy Rhodes made this point yesterday. The progressives start screaming immediately at everything the president does. You go, look, with the revenue increase, I get it that it's not in there. It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah,
and that's what the Republicans know, too.
The Bush tax cuts will expire, and there's nothing, by the way, in their projection. They don't say keeping those online. They assume that there's going to be, you know, they're assuming revenue without saying that's where they're getting it from.
Yeah.
It just magically appears, increased revenues. But it increases because the Bush tax cuts expire.
Well, because he's doing what he said he would do, essentially.
Right.
We're drawing down in the wars, and the Bush tax cuts are going to expire, which is going to have a huge impact on the deficit, more than all of this crap about, you know, chipping away at the social safety nets.
Right. The deficit, 25% Bush tax cuts, 25% Afghanistan and Iraq war, 25% Medicare Part D, and 25% the recession.
Right.
That's the entire sum total. If we could go back in time and erase the Bush presidency, the deficit would vanish.
Exactly.
And we'd be magically back to the surplus.
Where's that damn DeLorean when we need it?
Exactly.
Speaking of movie references.
Which movie was that? Do you remember?
Back to the Future.
There you go.
Wow.
Okay,
the presidency.
Congratulations.
Interest rates would skyrocket on credit cards.
Dang.
On mortgages.
Mark.
And on car loans. Which amounts to a huge tax hike on the American people.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to continue to work on my personal finances today with Christine Romans from CNN. Yesterday, I consulted with Ali Velshi on the air.
And he said, sell your house.
Because
no.
I was in a bit of a panic.
Right.
Because I have one of those floaty mortgages, and I talked to my accountant yesterday. I'm like, do I need to refinance
probably
now?
Probably should have locked down a rate.
Now a warning?
Maybe a year ago.
All right, well, Alex, I'll explain what I have. I have a... So I wasn't exactly sure what I had exactly. So I bought the house 8 years ago.
Right.
For the first 5 years, it was a...
Fixed rate.
Interest only.
Oh, interest only. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's adjustable.
Oh, you had an arm?
Yes.
Oh.
Ugh.
Oh.
But so geez. Now I'm actually paying
so
a ridiculously low
for
interest.
The collapse of
yes.
the economy.
Okay, so your interest has been going down, which is fine, but now
yes.
it's going to go back up.
Right, but it's ridiculously low now, and there's a cap on how high it can go, because I said, what if we default? And my accountant said, we're not going to default. We're not going. Let's hope he's right.
That's one opinion.
I hope he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying? There's a cap as to how high it can go up, even
right.
if you have a floaty. Listen, I need to talk to the smart one. Christine Robbins joins us from CNN just a little bit.
Your accountant said, we're not going to default, but did he say, you know, should?
Well, there's a cap on how high it can go up. I'm actually paying a ridiculously low rate now. It's like 2 point something.
Yeah,
that's
because
awesome.
Of some quirk of like, however, whatever happened. I played
well,
a certain thing for 5 years.
First, you're over the
hump.
Yeah,
now I'm paying down a lot of principal. But anyway, so I know. But I'm like, do I lock down now?
No, this is, by the way, this is the time when you don't necessarily, if you've got a really low interest rate and you're paying mostly principal.
Yeah.
Then your investment is improving the longer you stay in, much quicker.
Right.
If you needed to get out, it would have been during that interest period where you're really not making any equity at all.
Yeah.
Do I have to explain this to everyone? I'm going back to bed.
It's all about me now. I don't. All right.
True.
It's all about my personal situation now. It's every man for himself. Mm-hmm. All right. When you wake up in the back of the speeding Pinto, listen. What do I do? That's what I know.
When you find yourself on a tractor, go heading towards another tractor.
Yes, toward Kevin Bacon. Listen, screw the rest of you.
And your shoelace gets caught on the clutch.
17 minutes after the hour. I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah.
That's what happened in that scene in Footloose.
You know what? How many people have a friend like Hal Sparks that can demonstrate teabagging with you and explain your personal finances
to
you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm an all-around kind of a guy.
Thank you so much.
Renaissance man, Hal Sparks.
Right back on the Renaissance Man show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oi! Oh, no!
If you want a balanced approach to reducing the deficit, let your member of Congress know. If you believe we can solve this problem through compromise, send that message.
And the phone lines exploded.
Right.
As you were saying, I mean, this is so ridiculous, this whole, what did they say something about, oh, the president's obviously, it's only about him getting reelected. No, you can't, any top economist will tell you, in order to keep interest rates, to reassure markets, to reassure the world, you can't have this again in 6 months.
Right.
That's not stability. You know, I mean, it's...
And that's what you invest on. You invest on stability. They complain about the job numbers and have been wagging this about... But keep in mind, the even with a little bit of shutter step, Obama's job numbers have done nothing but arc up in a natural movement that would point to a recovering economy. The only real major hiccup came in when the 2010 election happened, and the Republicans started not introducing job bills, undermining stimulus at the governor level all across the country, stopping major improvements and firing people, quite frankly, jacking the number back up on purpose.
If you've just tuned in, the news while waiting for Congress to make its next move, the Obama administration has threatened to veto the two-step debt reduction plan by Boehner. Although they're saying they're pretty sure it won't come to that, the speaker's proposal cannot pass the Senate, will not pass the Senate, will not reach the president's desk, said the president's carny. He had nicer things to say about Harry Reid's plan, but acknowledged it might not pass the Republican House.
The president's spokesman, Jay Carney. Now,
yes.
The president does not actually have a carney working
in
the White House.
He's a carney.
Is he? small hands smell like cabbage.
Hence the need for compromise, Carney said, echoing the theme of Obama's speech Monday night. Obviously, Obama said, told leaders from both parties they must come up with a fair compromise in the next few days that can pass both houses of Congress
and a
compromise I can sign. We have a divided government. We have a two-party system. No one controls every branch of government. Compromise is the only option. I mean, I love Boner's speech, first of all, being full of lies, and second of all, like, just giving the president like an ultimatum. Like, he's the only... Like, they're in charge. We're doing our plan with or without him. It's like, what? Have you read the Constitution lately? Or?
Yeah. I have a great idea. I think this just occurred to me, but this might actually solve the entire problem. Since they're saying that the Republicans and the Democrats are so heavily divided that there's no way they can come across, then I think we should let Bernie Sanders write the whole thing.
I agree.
He's an independent.
I agree. Yep.
And... he should be allowed to just drive it. The Republicans and Democrats find common ground.
Right. The thing we were just talking about, Obama said he objected to Boner's temporary extension of the debt ceiling, saying it would force us again to face the threat of default just 6 months from now. Who thinks that's a good idea?
It'll still result in a downgrade.
Yes, exactly.
It'll still
the
result
Boner plan
in the downgrade.
Might not be, that's what he said, to avoid a credit downgrade and higher interest rates that all Americans would have to pay as a result. It's not clear Boner would get support from a majority of House Republicans who say they want more spending cuts, which has just happened. I mean, this is like...
This is Tuesday.
If they can't reach a consensus, what's Plan B? Right. The Carney said we're working on Plan B, which I think Navy SEAL Team 6. Well, no more Gangnam
you
Six.
Know what, you know
SEAL
what,
Team 6.
You know what the latest right-wing Tea Party meme is? Let the nation default. It will be a reset button on the U.S. economy.
It'll be awesome and cleansing. Just great.
Whoa.
Yes. Well, it's,
these people are dangerous.
It's probably good for Thelma and Louise. Probably that's, you know, we don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, they hit the reset button.
Yes, it's a way, it's a cleansing sort of.
The Tea Partiers and the Eric Canners of the world are people who have crawled into the light bulb, pulled the ladder up behind them, and are now kicking at the fingers of the people grasping to the sides.
Yes.
And imagining somehow that they deserve to be where they are magically because they happen to get there first. That's all that's about.
Yeah.
And they're afraid that the oncoming minorities and women, gays, is this big social wave of people who don't deserve the Pat Buchanans of the world.
Yep.
I mean, you guys heard what he said.
Oh, hell to the yeah.
Yes, he said the guy in Norway might have had a point. Might have been right.
Yeah. Was right about what he was...
Not since he wrote the fabulous editorial about how black people should thank us for the nice boat ride.
Oh, and how Hitler didn't want to invade Poland. Europe made him.
Yeah.
It was all Europe's fault.
Yeah, Hitler was a good guy, except for the
whole
thing.
He's like Anakin
thing.
Skywalker, you know what I mean? If the sand people hadn't killed his mom, he would have been just fine.
So, by the by, just in case you think you're crazy, voters with Obama on the debt. Most Americans would like to see a mix of spending cuts and tax increases be part of a deal to raise the debt ceiling. New poll finds aligning the majority with President Obama's position. Reuters Ipsos, 56% say they want to see a mix of approaches to raise the debt ceiling. It does seem to be the popular narrative is falling on the side of the president on this one, said the pollster. Just 19% of Americans say they favor a plan like Boner's, which would rely solely on spending cuts to reduce the... Americans blame the impasse. This blame is spread all around, though it's particularly strong against congressional Republicans, with 31% of those saying they are responsible for it. 21% blamed Obama. 9% blamed congressional Democrats. So, you know...
People are paying attention. Even Chris's friends who have just woken up and realized that something crazy is going on.
Yeah.
Yes. Pop their head out of their rectums briefly.
Yes. I went, what's all this noise about? It was so quiet where my head was just a minute ago.
29 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And there's nothing you can do about it. For example,
Stephanie Miller
hasn't talked to me since the 11th grade because no matter how much you apologize, you can't go back and undry hump someone's boyfriend.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. 34 minutes after the hour. Apropos. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Were you a man eater?
Yes, I was. 1-800.
What?
1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number to...
You dry hump someone's boyfriend?
Shush, I don't remember. Aldous in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
Hey, thank you. So yesterday, Moody's and Standard & Poor's and other credit rating agencies were saying that because we came within a week of the debt limit so far, ceiling problem, that they're thinking of going and downgrading us in one grade at
to
least.
To double A.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Republicans today have a new meme to try to squirm out of their responsibility on it. What I heard this morning is that they're saying, well, that's obviously if we even raise the debt ceiling, but we don't take enough cuts in our budget, then we're going to get a lowering of our credit rating. So they're trying to blame us on us.
Yeah, like it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Aldous, you know, you're absolutely right. Here we go again. There are not, you know, two versions of reality. There is one version.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Anyway, what Standard & Poor told CNN that the debt ceiling plan would lead to a downgrade because it would force a second vote on the debt limit several months from now. Bank of America, Merrill Lynch warned in a memo a stopgap deal could have a negative impact on stocks. Obviously, not Spocks, stocks.
Stocks, yes.
Obviously,
Spock is fine. He's very logical in this entire process.
The IMF warned today it could have a universally large negative impact on the global economy. Investors and credit rating agencies have made it clear they prefer a long-term deal. This is not just because the president's whim.
The investments are long-term. Bonds, right. You buy 10, 20, 30-year bonds. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. So you would never, ever invest in something where, in a massive way, on the level of the amount of money the United States takes in, if every 2 years it could just kind of evaporate.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absurd.
I mean, so it's just, that's what I'm saying. This is not because, just, it's the president's opinion or, it's political. Because I mean, I can't believe they accused him of playing politics. Oh, this is all about him getting reelected, Mitch McConnell said. It's like, no.
What?
Because all the credit agencies are saying we want a long-term deal. We don't want a short-term deal.
Right.
I mean, that's what this whole thing is.
And there's no conspiracy between Moody's and the White House, some of these right-wingers are saying.
Oh, totally.
This is fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Madness.
Exactly. We've been talking about it. Well, making different analogies. It's like waking up in a, you know, back of, let's say, a Pinto in the 70s, and your parents are drunk and in a game of chicken with someone. I'm just saying, this is what this is like. People that are paying attention now, they're like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Right.
Paula writes, Steph, years ago, this is a nostalgia story.
Oh, okay.
Personal story for an analogy. Steph, years ago, when my family was young, we would vacation in the summer at Seabrook Island, South Carolina. We'd drive from Ohio. Since we had four kids, we would leave at night so the kids would be asleep for much of the drive. My ex would start off driving, then around 1 a.m. would tell me he was too sleepy to drive, so I would take over. We had a Volkswagen bus, and my ex would get in the very back and lay down. This was before seatbelt laws. With everyone sound asleep and few cars on the highway, I would break the speed limit and drive too fast. One time, my ex woke up while it was still dark and shouted, "Oh, my God!" He had the sensation he was hurtling through space on a rocket. This must be how people feel now. Yes, thank you, Paul.
Mm-hmm. 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 I don't know why you think this is, a mystery. That's the thing, is that you're electing people who hate government to run it.
Yeah.
And then you're shocked when it's A, not run well, and B, they try to torpedo it. It makes no sense.
Yeah. And once again, not an opinion thing, it's a math thing. The president's carny.
The president has been out here with an unbelievable amount of regularity talking to you, talking to the American people throughout this process. The detail is there.
And you know who Boner's been talking to? Rush Limbaugh.
Yep. Yeah.
How pathetic is that? He literally admits he called Rush Limbaugh to run this by him.
Yeah, first.
Yeah.
And before his own caucus.
Right. Yeah. And then...
Wait a minute, who's in charge here? Boner or Rush Limbaugh?
And Rush Limbaugh is on record as saying, I hope the president fails. I mean, this is like... they're doing everything they can to just make this a failure on the president's part in some way. It literally is like they don't care.
No.
What happens to the country. I mean, it's...
Well, he's got enough... These are people who have enough of a cushion. They feel like they can ride out any damage. And they don't have any regard for people who are on the edge or are slipping into poverty. They think that widening gap between the rich and the poor is just. They believe it is indicative of a system and how it should work. It's not... To us, it's an absurdity. To them, it's jungle economics. They just believe that...
At least the president has the good judgment and taste to have never, ever come on this program, for God's sakes. I've never... He talked to me once, but that was at Oprah's before he was president, and he had to shake my hand because it was a fundraiser. That was it.
And you paid a hell of a lot of money to shake his hand.
Never talked to him since. Did you see a Boner? He was caught quipping after his little speech. I didn't sign up for going mano a mano with the president of the United States.
Where did he say this?
He said this while leaving the Capitol yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a. I, How quick do you think he got to Barfi's Bar and Grill after that? Oh, this is...
I'm going back to my dad's pub.
Oh, my God. President and the Tea Party are kicking my ass.
I'm going to go chase the American dream down the bottom of an ale glass.
Tavern.
In all honesty, here's the thing. You know, and you notice you haven't seen a bunch of Eric Cantor in the last week and a half. Because that guy suddenly realized, oh, I've overstayed my welcome.
Oh, yeah.
I think I should probably abscond.
It seems like I'm screwed now.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's after Boehner's job. He doesn't have any impetus to solve this. There's no value in making this better. Because now that he's done his part, he can say, I walked out of it because I was holding true to my pledge. The people who elected the Tea Party will stand behind him no matter what, no matter what damage is done.
Right, and now I think that it clearly doesn't have to be a conspiracy theory. You can look at the polling, and people get that the Republicans want to harm the economy for political reasons.
Right.
I mean, you can't, there's no other way to explain this logically. When, you know, Harry Reid's plan gives them everything they ask for, when every credit agency and financial expert is saying the same thing, and they're saying the opposite, you're going, oh, I see, you're trying to do this.
Yeah,
you want to hurt the economy so that it's a better environment for
a
Republican to win. Right.
This is their economic version of the Iran hostage crisis. Manipulate it during the presidency of Jimmy Carter, and then when you come in, you've already set it up so that you can fix, you know, there's $2 trillion worth of wealth in these businesses, and a lot of them are going, I won't spend it until you guys get back in if you undercut all the regulations and leave me free to do whatever I want. No tariffs, no trade limitations, nothing.
Right.
Move my jobs overseas, get my tax breaks, then I'll back you guys. If not, I'll primary you. That's the Koch brothers system.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, I know you're concerned about your adjustable rate mortgage. Insert Kinnison scream here. Yes. But don't worry, the house has a central vacuum system for resale value. Those things are like gold. It's like a license to print money. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, that'll
as long as it's not held together with duct tape. Right?
The guy I bought the house from repaired it, actually, with masking tape.
Oh, masking? Oh, even better.
No,
I
did the real repair now, so things should, okay. Things should be, hey, okay.
Really? There are central vacuum system repair people anymore?
I know. Who knew? We talked about yesterday how old I am, and that I still get watches and shoes repaired.
That's right.
I need to find those little cubbyhole places
in
this economy, because I don't have them. I don't have the scratch to buy new things, so I go to find the little people that do crafts.
There's a guy up the street from me who has just like this storefront full of crap, just like old broken electronics.
That's where
and
I buy my watches.
Yeah, he fixes.
And you remember, because I do entirely too much physical comedy for a woman in my advanced years, I broke my little watch once somewhere. I took it to the little repair man, and he repaired my little watch.
Yes, with his little Brazil/Terry Gilliam monocle kind of apparatus that he puts on his tiny screws that he has in a little plastic box under his...
Yes. And Aisha, when I was saying yesterday, we've gotten to that place, too, where you save that little Werther's candy till after lunch.
Well, he probably has two customers a day.
No, I don't do that. Werther's are too pervy for me. I can't... Like, the ads were so creepy. I can't...
Yeah, well...
I can't have a Werther's. I have
the
PTSD.
Old man and the young girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have flashbacks to things
Want
that didn't
candy?
Even happen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Those kinds of people probably have two customers a day.
That implanted false memories
of
molestation.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was sexual, like, demonic rituals or something.
I just remember waking up with a Werther's stuffed in my ass.
Yeah,
I don't know
what happened. Surrounded by black robes.
The hell?
But yeah, this guy sits in a lawn chair outside of the front of his place, like a saggy over. Like, fix your lawn chair, mister. I can fix anything. Fix your lawn chair. It's sagging out the bottom. You're about to fall through.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And he gets up from it, and you're like, okay, that's just silly. You're sitting in a basket. Why don't you just sit in an apple basket?
Does he have a little black and white TV there where
he watches
his stories, you know?
Yeah.
In between customers.
Angrily moving the antenna.
Gravity or antennas, yeah.
Like, dude, get an iPhone. You can watch Netflix. They're all on there.
Do the men that fix shoes, are they still called cobblers? What are they?
Sure.
I don't know what is. Is he a cobbler, technically?
Yeah.
I'm actually looking for a good one because I have
I know
moment.
Where.
Really?
I've got a little watch. I got Vic the watch guy, and I forget the shoe guy's name, but I'll find it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Geppetto.
Geppetto.
Could you build me another little wooden boy after you fix my sandals?
Lie to me, tell the truth. Lie to me, tell the truth now. Lie to me now, tell the truth now. Lie to me, tell the truth.
All right, the president's carny.
We are pushing this to the last minute, and that should not be the case. But in the end, we believe Congress will act appropriately.
Really?
Yeah. And that's based on what experience?
Yeah, exactly.
With this Congress. This Congress that we've never seen before in our history, really.
Well, again, I don't... regardless, what else can you say in that situation? In all honesty, what do you go to? I think these guys are nudniks and psychopaths, and I'm negotiating with them is like talking,
I would have, that would have made
talking
my
to
life.
A wall
if the president
that wants to demolish itself.
Would have called Boner a nudnik. I would have given my.
But I don't. The point is, in his press conference, there's nothing you can say because you'll insult these people, and they're so easily insulted that they'll just shut down
and they'll run screaming to the right wing media.
Exactly, yeah. And they'll get nothing done, and then they'll have an excuse to blame you. They even say it's name calling and all this stuff. Like, how sensitive did you guys suddenly get?
Yeah.
So
they're all what do you call it? Michael McDonald's character on Stewart on Mad TV.
Right. Yeah. Show me on the economy where the bad Boehner touched you.
45 minutes after the hour. I hate oversensitive people. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
In life for free, but you can give them to
Stephanie Miller.
I want money. That's what I want.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 50 minutes after the hour.
Oh, yeah.
This is the last Wednesday before Hal Sparks goes to Edinburgh for all of August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pulling my back myself. I'm pulling myself up by my bootstraps. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, I don't know if this is an economy thing or how bad the health care is. Man attempts self-surgery with butter knife.
That's just a redneck thing.
No. Glendale, California, actually.
Glendale.
Southern California man stuck a butter knife in his belly in a failed bid at self-surgery to remove a painful hernia.
What?
The wife of the 63-year-old man called 911. Boy, I'd like to hear that audio. My husband is trying to take out a hernia with a butter knife. Excuse me, ma'am?
Do you know what a hernia is, sir?
Yes. Officers found the man naked on a patio lounge chair outside his apartment with a 6-inch butter knife sticking out of his stomach.
Oh.
That's not
I'm gonna
something
go
you
with,
see every day.
I'm going to go with, look, I didn't mean to stab you. I was just really upset. I know you're going to call police. Let's just make up some story.
Wait, it gets better. While waiting for paramedics, the sergeant said the man pulled out the knife and stuffed a cigarette he was smoking into the bleeding open wound.
Oh, my
What he was
God.
Thinking, I
There's
don't know.
No
I don't know if
that.
He was cauterizing the wound, but that was, wow.
Was he
That's someone
Rambo
having a worse
3?
Day. What might feel better? I know. Maybe I'll stuck this light cigarette in there.
You need I think you need a 50-cal shell. You have to knock the top off of it with your big giant knife, your Bowie knife that's specially designed for the movie, and then you pour all the powder into the wound itself, and then you take a lit stick from your fire that you made where you're cooking the boar that you killed with your bare hands, and then you light the other side of it, and it shoots through like a rocket, cauterize the wound, and you're back to shoot and wiggle in your shoulder in a matter of minutes. Better than getting your rotator cuff worked on at Yale.
We need something to feel better, and Mike and Raleigh has said it's just such a thing.
Oh, yeah?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. It's like a wacky sitcom.
The show started up at its ain't no block, all up and down the dial with Stephanie, the producer, too.
That's you.
The voice deity
and his wife,
Johnny Quad,
the movie star,
Aisha Tyler,
Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Hey, wait a minute.
Here on Stephanie's show.
What happened to Hal?
Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Yeah, that was there. Okay, good.
I think we're just, I don't know, that makes me the professor and makes John Fugelsang Marianne. Which, he's the effable brunette, I suppose, on the show.
Donna, Donna in California. Hi, Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Hal.
Hi,
Hal. I want to be the Medical Marijuana Club for Northern California.
Oh, right on.
For Stephanie Miller Show. I met you, Hal, at an MPP party.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
Anyway.
The party. That's the thing. It's because I don't use. I remember all of it.
How many people remember marijuana meetings? Yeah. All right, Donna, go ahead.
We want Congress to take a bomb hit so they can everybody can calm out. Get a pizza and get this settled.
You need to hotbox Congress. That literally is like a giant, like Dave Chappelle, like an enormous Stay Puff Marshmallow Man sized Dave Chappelle needs to lift the lid off Congress and just hotbox the whole thing.
Yeah.
Blow smoke it like you would get your puppy high.
And then just
where's my marijuana music?
Bags of taco flavored Doritos.
And then realize
in there.
That Boehner's immune to it because he's drunk.
Just wondering how many messages Donna left, how many times she called a member of Congress. It's Don again. Sing Mighty, you guys, capacity wrong.
Really? This is how you're going to automatically
stereotype.
Stereotyping people who smoke?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Especially medical marijuana, which helps people with their nausea.
She doesn't want Congress to smoke medical, but she just wants them to smoke pot.
That's true. So
they'll
chill out.
Bong hits.
Yeah, exactly.
I certainly think there's an element of softening their attacks on what would be social architecture. Would relax them a tremendous amount because the gay members of the Republican Party would certainly coolax quite a bit.
Yeah. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
In short, it's everything Republicans have demanded wrapped up in a bow and delivered to their door.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And knock it off.
Yes, and by the way, stop it.
Yeah, stop that, Harry. Don't do that anymore. You're acting like a 72-year-old who was born in a different era. These are maniacs. You know how they say the FBI says every victim meets their serial killer halfway?
Yeah. Stop it. This is, if you need any further evidence of where the Republicans are politically, with default 7 days away, House GOP fixates on repealing environmental regulations. That's what they're doing.
They're too expensive. They're driving away business. Uh-huh. You know, the kind of business that poisons your water and costs you more money later.
While
the rest of
the country focuses on the looming deadline to raise the nation's debt ceiling, House Republicans taking advantage of the distraction to repeal environmental regulations and pass the most severe environmental budget cuts in 35 years. They're pushing a bill that cuts 7% from the Department of the Interior. It would reduce EPA funding by a whopping 18%, a $1.5 billion cut from current funding levels. The House busy with legislation aimed at repealing environmental regulations and stymieing conservation efforts.
So to protect a business that creates jobs, that creates so few jobs and so little revenue for the actual country, they would allow that country to operate without the rules that protect the environment that would also later cost all of us in cleanup.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. More money. I mean, it's... all right. Harry Reid again yesterday.
The Democrats will not vote for it. It's dead on arrival in the Senate.
As well it should be.
Yeah, because it's absurd.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Tea Party, again, pushing Boehner farther to the right instead of, the Boehner yesterday.
There's more cuts in spending than you have an increase in the debt limit. It has real caps and a real process for cutting spending.
Oh, God. And then he's stung by revelations that his plan would cut spending less than he thought. He postponed the vote now until, what is it, Thursday now?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. Time running short, he promised to quickly rewrite his bourbon-soaked cocktail napkin and has the new debt ceiling legislation. Hmm. Apparently, who knew? Who knew he'd be off on his math? Hmm. The Boehner.
I gave it my all. Unfortunately, the president would not take yes for an answer. Even when we thought we might be close on an agreement, the president's demands changed.
Oh, please. I swear to God, was it not a version of I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah.
That was the line the president used. They can't take yes for an answer. Mm-hmm. We were this close on a deal. So I know. You are. Not
well,
me.
Because he has seized on a situation where he is in an immovable position because he's got members of his party who just aren't going anywhere. And they fought very distinctly.
And original lie that we don't have a crisis here. We have bipartisan legislation that's passed. Lie.
Yeah.
There's what, like five Democrats. And now he can't get enough votes from Tea Party Republicans for it. So he was full of crap to start with on that. You know, like
orange crap.
Exactly.
Cheeto dust. You know, like those that dusty stuff you get at the bottom of a bag of Cheetos.
He has that instead of melatonin.
His plan was already a pile of barf, and now he's sprinkling that orange dust on it.
Right. He doesn't have melanin. He has MSG.
Mm. Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kristen Yankton with a Me Too. Steph, I love the weird little shoe repair places run by people who look like Billy Crystal and the Princess Bride. I've got a backpack I've had since college that I've had repaired several times by the shoe gnomes, and I love it. Me too. Now, so few people have a craft anymore. I love my little watch repair man and my little shoe repair man. Mm-hmm. All right, so Hal Sparks joins us at Hump Days with Hal Sparks, sexy liberal, his bad self, sexyliberal.com, the website, sexyliberal on Facebook. Check it out, lots of upcoming dates. Yes. Aisha Tyler filling in for Hal in August while he's in Scotland, and then we have tons of dates in the fall. Check it out! Looky here, it's an unsolicited testimonial, in fact, to the Steph Show and the Sexy Liberal Show.
Do what?
By Danny in San Francisco. Dearest Steph, this letter has been 7 years in the making. Oh, boy, it better be good.
Mm.
I've been a fan since the Bronze Age because I faithfully buy the Steph cast each year in advance. Gling. I'll handle the gling. You don't need to write it. I've got it. I get to hear every damn second of it anytime of my choosing, including naked rooftop sunbathing to you all through college. Okay, that's I didn't need to.
What?
I say I'm your biggest fan, it couldn't be truer. My true testament of gleeful fanaticism, though, has come at the onslaught of sexy liberal shows. I decided to go on a sexy liberal bender and take my boyfriend, best friend, and sister to three cities near me. I immediately booked VIP tickets for my boyfriend and I to Seattle the first day available, even though we live in San Francisco. Road trip. Then LA rolled around. I pounced like Marcus Bachman at a sausage eating contest and bought two VIP tickets for my best friend and I. And, of course, when the Sexy Liberal Hounds were released here in San Francisco, I snatched up tickets faster than Marcus at a half-off bin of pantsuits at Marshall's. I do hereby knight myself the gay 20-something natural medicine enthusiast, vegetarian, ganja-dabbling, howl-loving twink gling of the Steph Miller Show. What? And wow. Steph's biggest fan, all my love. Danny in San Francisco.
Aww.
The Steph head. I love that. All right. Kids, we're, as we've mentioned, in a little bit of a crisis.
What?
And so there's only one thing to do now, and that's talk to the smart one from CNN.
Yes.
We used Ali Velshi to get her. Good morning, Christine Romans.
Good morning. I hate this crisis. I really hate it.
I know. Yeah. I have a headache in my eye. This is serious, right?
It's serious, and I feel like I'm being stretched from the far left to the far right, and my middle is all, I don't know, taut and hurting.
I'd offer to fix that, but I know you're happily married, and I have too much respect for you.
Christine, as you know, I always pull you down into the political, into partisan politics. But
that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yes.
But come on, this is not, you've got, you know, despite potential downgrade is the headline, McConnell claims absolutely no economic justification for long-term debt ceiling. Well, that's not what any of, you know, investors or credit agencies or anybody is saying. They want a long-term deal.
They want a long-term. There's two parts here. One, they got to make sure short-term that there's not a political crisis that piles onto a financial crisis. And right now we have a political crisis in Washington. Two, they got to know that we're serious about getting our unsustainable long-term debts under control, but they don't see us doing that. They only see us fighting about the short-term and everyone going to their bases. So we have a problem on two fronts here, and I'm starting to get more and more worried that even if we raise the debt ceiling, the rest of the world and the rating agencies have said, you know what, we don't think politically America's got its act together, you don't deserve to be AAA anymore, and that's a real problem.
Well, thank you. Something the IMF warned, this could have a universally large negative impact on the global economy. Investors, credit rating agencies have made it clear they prefer a long-term deal. Standard & Poor's said the debt ceiling plan would probably lead to a downgrade because it would force a second vote several months from now, exactly as the president said. Bank of America Merrill Lynch warned in a memo a stopgap deal could have a negative impact on stocks. The CEO of PIMCO said a short-term stopgap compromise could hurt stock markets, leave the U.S. extremely exposed to a credit downgrade.
Although, I know some people in the currency markets have been watching the dollar go down, and they're saying you need some kind of deal overall. They're even saying the deals that are on the table, all of them now, are not the right one yet. Mm-hmm. That they need to see the debt ceiling raised, and they need to see real long-term deficit reduction in a meaningful way. And what you're not seeing is anything meaningful right now, and you're just not. I think you can argue about the two plans are on the table, although one of them is now off the table, the Boehner plan.
Right.
And there's a lot of sort of head scratching this morning, and it's like, wait, did John Boehner just become the moderate, and now he's aligned with the White House somehow? And oh my goodness. I mean, I don't even know whose side anybody's on anymore.
Well, no, exactly. And that's, I mean, obviously the Tea Party is dragging Boehner farther to the right now. I mean, and by the way, McConnell, among others, leading Republicans a few weeks ago said that we need a long-term deal. So they've reversed themselves.
But we need a long, you know, we don't even have a budget. I mean, we need needed a long-term deal like 3 years ago. We needed, yeah. This is the other thing. This 11th hour stuff just drives me nuts because now everyone's acting like, well, you know, it's this, it's the tax cuts are the problem. It's the wars. No, it's the stimulus spending. No, it's all of it and then some. It's a whole bunch of stuff that's been happening for years, and now to try to resolve it under the guise of a debt ceiling crisis is just stupid.
Right.
It's just stupid.
Yeah, and
anybody who doesn't know, I mean, it's stupid. And then rapid, and all of a sudden I hear people talking about, well, we've got to talk about health care reform. It's like, healthcare reform, reforming healthcare reform. Well, where'd that come into play?
Right.
We're talking about
Christine,
the faith and credit of the U.S. government. We're talking about, we bought a car last year in terms of all the spending plans that we did pass, and now we're saying, oh, we're not going to pay for that car because we can't afford it anymore.
But we're going to continue to drive it.
I keep saying I like to try that with my wine bill. I drank that last month. It's already gone. Why do I have to pay for it now?
Yeah.
I mean, Christine, literally, you're right. Together. It's like they're throwing all these tchotchkes in at the last minute. Like, we literally are on the verge of, like, worldwide financial catastrophe.
Well,
and they're going, oh, no, get the balanced budget amendment and the health care thing needs to be. It's like, what?
We've been living this way for a long time, but especially, I mean, the Iraq-Afghanistan wars themselves were sort of the tipping point into making it sort of okay, creating these huge, massive debt elements and then not paying for them.
Hal, you're totally right, but it goes back to Medicare Part D, which was loved by both parties. The tax cuts, and then this president that extended the tax cuts and did a payroll tax cut. Look, stimulus was underwhelming. It was not what we thought it was going to be. Remember when the White House told us that if we didn't pass this epic stimulus that was going to cost more than any single expenditure ever in the history of our country, that we would have an unemployment rate of 8%? Guess what? We have an unemployment rate of 9.2%. We passed that huge thing.
Right, so, but it was two-thirds of what the initial premise was, and arguably you got people like Krugman saying it should have been much larger, that the idea is the investment has to be huge. It's kind of like after a hurricane, you take out a secondary loan to rebuild the roof on your house, but you go, okay, I only rebuild two-thirds of the roof in that situation.
Yeah.
If you're talking about paying this out over long term, it makes more sense to go deeper and spread that out and do this long-term investment for, you know,
right.
That's what we're talking about, infrastructure level shifts, right?
But what makes sense and what happens politically are two completely different
things. Well, but Christine,
and that's why our debt rating could still be in trouble, because the world looks at us and says, "Oh, it's going to take politics to fix economics in the United States," and they don't do that so well.
This British finance, minister said, the United States is apparently being run by a bunch of right wing nutters. I mean, that's what it looks like to the world.
Where we go from here, I'm not quite sure, because we're really out of time. we're out of time, and it's incredibly frustrating. And just today I was interviewing the Florida governor, Rick Scott, and he says, he along with four other governors say, we don't even need to raise the debt ceiling.
Right.
So on the one hand, you got people talking about, we're going to raise the debt ceiling, we all agree about that, but what are we trading to do that? And the Republicans, those freshman Tea Party-linked Republicans, they won an election. This is what happens when you win an election. You get to use your influence. And so they're using their influence. That's what happens in elections. That's the democratic process. Except now it's all mucked up in something much bigger, which is the full faith. I mean, I say it 1,000 times a day, the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. I mean, it's just, I never thought I'd ever be talking about that.
Right. It's like we're making decisions, about redecorating while the house is on fire. It's like, put the fire out first, and then let's,
analogies are so good.
Thank you. This is really, like you say, how did we get to this, and how do you see it playing out? I mean, what are the options at this point?
The one thing, I mean, I know that you want to, the blame here, there's a lot of blame to go around, and I'll tell you one reason why, because one of the things that the Republicans tell me is that if they don't use this leverage, they're never going to get anything done, because look at how many times we've just raised the debt ceiling pro forma and never really gotten our...
Yeah, so for the first time in history, this has got to be tied to something else.
We've had 17 different deficit commissions in the past, 10 or 15 years. What have they done? Nothing. They never have the power. We have to give them the power to actually give an up and down vote to Congress. How are we going to fix that? So now what you're seeing is the fiscal conservative saying, now we have the leverage that we need and we're going to use it. But there's no compromise. And
The only time it's mattered to them is when it's tied ultimately to entitlement type spending. When it comes to war or flat out giveaways, they seem to be on board. And I know it's the equitable position to kind of go, there's equal blame to be laid around, but it just, I don't find to be the fact.
And I don't think the polls are reflecting that either, Christine. I know, despite your resistance to being pulled into the partisan muck, I'm just saying that,
it does exist.
And Hal and I were saying, I think the president is being smart in that, in terms of the revenue thing, because as we've said, that's going to go up anyway. With the Bush tax cuts are going to expire, and the wars are going to draw down, and those are exactly the major things that any pretty much any economist will tell you are the major impact on the deficit, these wars and the tax cuts for the rich.
And Medicare Part D, and then the recession hit.
Right.
And then there's, yeah, there's a bunch of other stuff in there, too. Like when the economy tanked, you know, you lost a lot of revenue. That, you know, you lost a lot of revenue when the economy tanked, although it is starting to come back. I'm
well, American companies are sitting on $2 trillion worth of cash wealth and
but
another trillion outside.
They say that as long as they see Washington acting like this, why in the world would they be investing in new plants and new in the United States?
I wouldn't.
They just see such disarray that they're waiting to get this out of the way. Now the other thing I've been asking a lot of people in the markets, in currency markets mostly, because I've been watching the dollar fall, and I've been saying, okay, so the White House wants, is it really true that the White House wants to get this done because it's the best thing for the markets or because it's the best thing for a re-election? And they're like, well, it doesn't matter if those two things happen to coincide
right
now. I mean, they're cynical. They're cynical about it, that we don't want to be having this fight again. But that we, even if we do, I'm just so worried that even if we raise this debt ceiling, that we still have already showed such a scatterbrained lack of political muscle that we've already hurt our reputation so
badly. Well, it's not the cash element of it. It's if you're talking about a long-term investment, a 10-year, 20-year bond, those kind of things, this kind of behavior every 2 years of the potential for it is the very thing that undermines it, not the actual crisis itself, but the potential.
Yeah. Christine, let me, as you know, I'm very busy and I only have time for financial advice on air from either Ali Belshi or you. So let me get, let me bring this back to me because it's all about me now. So I have, I got a 5-year ARM. I bought my house 8 years ago. And so I was, it was interest only for 5 years. Now I'm paying, but it's a floaty, you know.
Wait, you got an interest only loan?
Yes.
Wow.
That was 8 years ago.
In my book, I said you shouldn't do that.
Yes, well, I did. I did. That's before I, you know, is, what is it? Smart
is the new rich.
Smart is the new rich. That was before that. But now I'm paying down, but so now I'm, I have actually a ridiculously low interest rate. And if we, you know, God forbid we do default, what's that? It's like 2 point something. It's, I'm paying, I mean.
And you're paying principal now?
I mean, my original was like 4.875. You know, that was 5 years. Now it's actually low, but.
Did your home value tank? Are you okay?
No, I'm okay. But my point is, say we default, say worst case scenario, I mean, there is a cap as to how much people that are listening that have adjustables, right? I mean, it can't suddenly go to 10, right? I mean, what would you advise people?
Well, first of all, I would say people should not be really, the average person shouldn't be getting into an adjustable rate mortgage right now because interest rates are going to go up. And so if it's going to be adjusting, and there are those who say when interest rates start going up, it isn't going to be pretty. They're going to start going up and they'll be going up big. So, you know, they're so low right now. I mean, it's crazy. I know somebody who just got a 3-year deal for less than
3%. Wow.
Yeah. Imagine.
Wow.
I don't know, maybe it was a 5-year. I can't remember, but it was.
But would you refinance it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I should. All right. I got to get off the phone now.
I think you need to be in a fixed rate loan. I think you need to be in a fixed rate loan. And you need to, those crazy, real sexy, liberal, sexy mortgages, you need to make sure that you've got something. You know, boring is better, Stephanie.
I need a boring conservative mortgage? Okay.
Boring is better.
My mortgage rate is sexy and liberal.
Way to bring it back, Christine, to exactly where we are. The boring part is what we should be doing. We should be talking about our long term debt like adults.
I know.
The boring part of it.
It's a pathway to a balanced budget, a pathway to getting things under. Doing it quick and dirty all at once because of politics is going to be such a shock to the U.S. economy. It's going to kill jobs, Bernanke says. And, you know, you got to be careful about hurting jobs when that's the thing that we need to get us, help, get us out of here.
You know what you are, Christine Romans? You're a pea eater. That's what you are. You're a pea eating adult. And we love you for it. Smart is indeed.
So boring but important.
Smart indeed is the new rich. Christine Romans from CNN,
like
the smart one.
Person, right?
Thank you as always, honey.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
I think the only thing to do now is party like it's 1999.
I think so, too.
Party over. Oops, out of time.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All skate, everyone skate. I feel like squatting with one foot forward. Shoot the duck.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Oh, Representative Karen Bass coming up in a few minutes. Not since we've had Lance Bass on, but we had such terrific Bass.
Stop it.
That's good Bass.
And next, Representative John Garamendi. Yay. Okay. Yeah, David Bender and I, for some reason, we are dragged back into Saturday Night Live 70s references lately.
Bendy and Garamendi?
Oh, I know why. Yeah, because of Al Sharpton is Garrett Morris, unfortunately.
Right.
It is news for the hard of hearing. I like him very much politically.
I'm filling in for Ed Schultz, and apparently I don't have a microphone.
I like him very much politically, just saying. It was kind of funny yesterday. David Bender and I were trying to talk, and I turned the volume, I thought, all the way down, and you could still hear him. I was like, what the? I'm still in here. Don't turn down the volume. I'm Al Sharpton. This is the wrong knob. I had to actually turn it down on both places because I was like, what the hell? He's impossible to mute. What's happening? And I enjoy watching him. I'm just saying.
You turned down the sound bar.
Yeah, just because we had to talk for a minute. That's all. But we've been then suddenly dragged back into SNL, and you're like,
right.
General Franciscimo Franco is still dead.
Franciscimo?
This guy, I don't know, whoever. What? Wolverine, I hope Wolverines eat your fingertips.
Wow.
All right. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Brian.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, the way I see things, there's two types of Republicans in the party right now in Congress. There's the end-timers who basically want to expedite Armageddon.
Yeah.
But then there's the ones that aren't so ignorant. And they've seen the polls. They've seen the governor's numbers, the governors, Republican governors around the country. They've lost the black vote and on the verge of losing the Hispanic vote. So their current Republican branding is unsustainable, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what a default would do is it would hamper any Democratic majority from doing anything for years to give them enough time to rebrand the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, they got enough rich buddies to sustain the ensuing chaos that's coming with the default.
Yeah. Invest in rapture helmets.
They just had that, I think that thing in Wisconsin or Ohio where you have to show movement in your bank account to get a state ID. That's how one of the ways.
What?
Yeah.
Mm.
So the idea being that it's just an old-fashioned landholder voting. Like you can only vote if you're a landholder, which, by the way, is how our system still works to some degree because of this like inequity between senatorial seats and the amount of people served by that. It's all about land. So,
hey, Jim, I didn't think there was going to be a headline that would make Boner drink even more before noon. Reed debt plan could save more than Boner bill, CBO finds. A Senate proposal to lift the legal limit on the national debt would slice $2.2 trillion from the federal deficit over the next decade, short of its $2.7 trillion target, but far more than a rival debt ceiling package drafted by the Boner.
Terrible. You know, I'm gonna leave it to the Adam's apple kid. I don't want the job anymore. Anybody with a tavern, I can't take it.
The Boner.
It has real caps and a real process for cutting spending before the end of this year. And it provides for, I think, the best effort to get a balanced budget amendment enacted into the Constitution.
It doesn't?
Oh, crap!
No.
Yes, the headline is, Boner delays vote on debt ceiling measure. Stung by revelations his plan would cut spending less.
Son of a...
He postponed the vote till tomorrow.
Damn it!
Time running short, he promised to quickly rewrite his debt ceiling legislation. It's redo! Basically they're saying it's the Tea Party back members of Boner's own party who continue to give him grief, and it's not enough, and he can't get it. He cannot, as Hal said earlier, he cannot control his own caucus, Jim. It is out of control. He's
waving his caucus all over the place.
Like a fire hose.
Laughing in the wind.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at me, huh? Stepping out in the town with a big celebrity?
Well, I think you're exaggerating.
No, you're a lady big shot, like
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, speaking of which, I caused an international incident yesterday surrounding Lady Gaga, Chris, is that correct? Oops.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, she was in the building here yesterday, and apparently, I guess we found out, Chris, the number one show among paparazzi, that would be
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, because apparently they were clustered outside the...
Oh, I know I wasn't supposed to say anything, sorry.
And here's her phone number and
Social Security
number.
She was giving a little concert in the building, which we weren't, of course, allowed to go to because we're talk radio geeks. We're not even allowed on the cool music floors.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
But apparently I mentioned the radio and there was paparazzi clustered about the building at every entrance.
Although we're probably the only people who talk positively about her deal with Target and then her scuttling of that deal with Target because she initially got in business with them, making sure that they had to act as adults and not be anti-gay and all those things. And then they decided to after they signed the deal with her and she went, okay, go pound sand.
Yeah. Well, I've always loved Lady Gaga because I was born this way, as you know.
Right.
And
so
I also... You know when you've really made it when you have a mini band? Because, you know, Mini Kiss is the, you know, the Kiss tribute band made up entirely of little people.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah. Who's found us? Oh, Eric found Mini Gaga. Yeah, it's apparently.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up. If you were born with
me,
baby.
Oh. Boy.
Really?
I guess. I don't know where they play.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all superstars.
Except the exact same size nose, which you like.
It sounds like Fred singing Lady Gaga.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go Pound Sound's your next big hit, actually.
Go Pound Sand?
Go Pound Sand.
Yeah.
Or Go Pound Sound. I like
Go Pound Sound. That's
just
good.
All right. Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California.
Well, you have a vote for a balanced budget, a set time in the future. We're also going to have one this week. We will not give up that fight.
Mm, yeah, it's like the car's going off the cliff, Hal, and then they just threw in a Molotov cocktail in the back seat at the same time. You're like, what? Wait a minute. What balanced budget? Where did that come from? I mean, it's they literally, you cannot at this point say they're trying to scuttle this. They're trying to throw in controversial stuff that is going to make this implode. Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa.
It's just like so many things in Congress or state legislatures. Nothing gets done until you get to a deadline.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We've never had this happen around a debt ceiling.
No, that happens in high school.
Yeah.
That I mean, at a certain point, do your job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what Mitch McLiblis said.
He wasn't elected to talk about the United States. He was elected to lead it.
I see. So let him lead then, I guess.
You're a talking turtle!
Yeah.
I would say to him then, then follow his lead.
Yeah.
If you're saying he's not being a leader, that might be because...
Did you see Jim Boner? Boner admitted he's not up to the job. He said that he was overheard after his speech saying, I didn't sign up for going mano a mano with the President of the United States.
Well, you kind of did.
He pulled my tail.
Somebody pull my tail.
I don't have any courage.
If I were king of the forest.
All right. Let's see. Besides being fiscally disastrous. Let's talk about right wingers that are incredibly racist or homophobic. Pat Buchanan.
Oh, him.
As Hal Sparks. Wow, Jimmy's written another Jim Dandy. Ever since the hey, don't black people owe us a thank you for the nice boat ride to the greatest country in the world and stuff.
Whatever. And Hitler didn't want to actually invade Europe. Europe made him.
Sure. They provoked him.
Well, he's saving European culture from the Mongol hordes.
Right.
He argued that far-right extremist Anders, how do you say his name, Breivik,
I'm not sure.
May have had a valid point.
Oh,
arguing that he was bringing attention to his cause, a, quote, crusaders' war between the real Europe and the cultural Marxists and Muslims. Buchanan declares that on the climactic conflict between the once Christian West and the Islamic world, Breivik may be right.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
That's what a mental defective would think. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I don't know why he's still on television. It's like, you know, freedom of speech is not freedom of microphone, per se.
Conflating Marxists and Muslims is ridiculous. I mean,
the cultural Marxism, by the way, that's a big... He's in a special. They did it like one of those online Alex Jonesy YouTube movies. Cultural Marxism is their new word for political correctness. And literally, this is what they're saying. Gay rights, minority rights, and the rights of the poor, like protecting people with social safety nets, is part of a Marxist plan to undermine America that was set in place in Germany 60 years ago. That's really what they believe. That's what Pat Buchanan actually thinks.
It seems to me when there's something like this, there's no but. He's like, oh, well, of course it's an awful thing. But it's like, no.
Wait a minute. Freeze.
Well, he may have had a... It's
no.
like...
Stop right there.
Okay.
You're bananas to start with.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna,
All right. By the by, yikes. I don't know if it's hard not to do the Marcus Bachman jokes. However, this is the sad part we've been talking about. Here we go again. Like, who do you blame? And is this Michelle Bachman, Republican presidential candidate, plagued by teen suicide epidemic in her district?
Wow.
There have been a total of 9 teenage suicides in the past 2 years, a string of teen suicides in her district plaguing the presidential contender. In her Minnesota school district, there's been a total of 9 teens who killed themselves in the past 2 years, several of whom were gay or thought to be gay, according to a new report. The article, The Teen Suicide Epidemic in Michelle Bachman's District, cites critics, including residents of and the state public health officials, who blame Bachman and her anti-gay allies for creating a climate of intolerance. She, of course, voted against the anti-bullying bill there. And again, you can go, is she directly responsible? No, but Michelle Johnson, for instance, blames the school district for the death of her daughter, Samantha, a seventh grader, teased by students who claimed she was gay. She shot herself in a rifle in her family's bathtub. She said, I feel if I hadn't moved to this district, my daughter wouldn't have died. I mean, it's a...
Wow.
Inflammatory, story, but I mean, it's this is the sadder part of this whole reparative therapy and how dangerous it is, you know.
This idea that intrinsically there's something wrong with you,
and that if it doesn't fix it, you're not praying hard enough, and God doesn't like
you. Well, and also they don't realize, or maybe they do realize, and they just don't care. But the whenever you say to an adult, I don't think you should have the same rights I do. Because you're gay and gay is a choice, and I just believe that. That's my religious belief, and I think you're a second-class citizen. What they don't understand is that there are children who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, who are hearing that, and what they're saying is – and that's why Dan Savage came out with it. It's better is because they're saying there's no future. That you're.
But what's doubly horrible is then those same people go, well, they're killing themselves because they know it's wrong to be gay.
Right.
Not because, we're telling them it's wrong to be gay.
Right.
So, meanwhile, the next headline is Bachman campaign takes retribution against local Iowa station that asked about ex-gay clinics. You're not even allowed to ask her about this. Earlier this month, after an undercover investigation confirmed Marcus Bachman's Christian counseling clinics performed ex-gay therapy, Michelle Bachman was asked about the practice by Iowa's local ABC affiliate there. She refused to comment on the matter, saying only she's very proud of our business and proud of all the job creators in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
During the interview, her advisors reportedly threatened the producers they would cut off the feed if the anchor repeated the question. On Sunday, the Bachman campaign openly and aggressively denied News 8 access to the Iowa Republican frontrunner as retribution against the station for asking Bachman about reparative therapy. The campaign also abruptly ended an interview when a different station asked about the counseling centers. They're using government
business.
Money, and she's running as a small government conservative.
Yeah, right.
And they're using it to do terribly dangerous therapy.
And then if you ask questions about it, screw you.
Also, you haven't figured out how to run your anti-gay reparative therapy program on profit. Where's the Ayn Randian nature of if you can't turn a profit from Jesusing the gay out of people,
then you're a failure.
Right.
I mean, it works
maybe
so
God
well
wants
on,
you out of business.
It works so well on Marcus, clearly. Why is... How is he not a walking
There's
ad?
There's a place for us, somewhere a place for us.
Peace
and quiet and open air. Hold my hand.
God,
and I'll
make
take
migraine
you
pills
there.
So small.
They need to make like dog bone sized migraine pills for dealing with that, so she could just gnaw on them in a corner.
Please. Where's the Botox injection?
One of the ways they treat migraines, Botox.
Yeah.
I just love the Congress doctor note that she, you have migraines of which there are well-known triggers, which what they are. And then there's no other information.
Something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is
going to
be great.
I know what the trigger is, doctor.
Many nudes could come in with big, Botox. Bows and arrows.
Right. Yeah, like curare darts.
Yeah, right.
The poison is
fresh. Botox.
You
can inject yourself with Botox. Is one of the cures. Hell, true.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Crossbow with Botox.
Yes.
Cross Botox.
And we just have speculated here on the Stephanie Miller Show that perhaps Marcus has performed some high kicks while she's doing the Botox injections. The needles landed in the cat, and it's,
That's the least wrinkly cat I've ever seen.
The cat looks amazing. That's the happy ending.
By amazing,
he's still
you mean
gay,
like
and she still
Liberace
has a horrible headache. But the cat looks like a newborn.
A newborn in a windstorm.
Yeah.
All right. right, could you take your organ out? One more in the homophobe stack here. WorldNet Daily on marriage equality. Liberals want to hand over our mores and mores and values to the
s'mores?
Devil.
S'mores? What?
S'mores.
Mm-hmm. The devil wants your s'mores.
The nerve. Those people.
In WorldNet Daily column, Larry Klayman defended Republican candidate Michelle Bachmann, who recently left a church which has reportedly been associated with anti-Catholic viewpoints, against the activist ultra-left gay and lesbian community that's trying to destroy her campaign. Klayman further wrote that the left, now led ironically by its pro-Muslim president Barack Hussein Obama, wants to squeeze the teachings of the likes of Jesus and Moses from our public schools and our society in general by pushing government as our God and having the government condone and endorse the homosexual lifestyle.
Wow.
Through such institutions as gay marriage, they want to squeeze God out of our lives and instead hand over our mores and values to the devil.
Guess what?
That's a weird booyah.
If anybody can squeeze God out of your life, you're a crappy Christian.
Yeah. It just sounds like a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah, maybe you need to pray a little bit harder, because if you believe the devil's out there, he's trying to drive me away from Jesus.
Here's my favorite part where he targets Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow, of course, is a proud lesbian. She openly boasts of her sexual preference on her MSNBC show. I don't think she's actually ever mentioned her sexuality on her television show.
She has actually, but only in context.
Yes. She, like the other homosexuals and leftists who seek to conveniently destroy Michelle Bachmann and Bradley in one fell swoop, is free to practice her sexuality she pleases. Why, then, are we conservative Christians and Jews not allowed to express our views about the ungodly pitfalls of the gay political agenda and live our lives?
Damn fool view you want,
exactly.
But expect to be criticized for it.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
How dare you not allow me to speak? Me, say
it
once.
I'll tell you why. Because
I've heard Rachel say it once, I've heard her say it a million times. Hello, I'm gay, and you shush, you Jews. That's
right.
Why she opens most segments.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, technically being Jewish is a choice.
46 minutes after the hour, Representative Karen Bass joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
That's all I got left. Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Is
Representative
that the worst
Karen
song ever?
Bass from the great state of California joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, well. How are we all at this particular moment? I mean, this is really...
It's coming down to the wire. Down to the wire.
What? I don't even know what to ask. I'm lost for words almost at this point. So, Harry Reid's plan has given them everything they want. They've said no. Now the CBO says that's actually going to save more money than Boehner's plan is.
Exactly. And so what's going to happen now, I suppose, is that Speaker Boehner is going to come up with a new plan. The problem is that his caucus just doesn't seem to want anything.
Right.
And frankly, I feel bad for the guy, because it's like everything he proposes, his caucus rejects, which really puts him in a terrible bind.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's what was so disingenuous, Representative, about his speech. First of all, there was no crisis. A bipartisan plan has passed. Are you kidding me? Five Democrats voted for it, and he can't even get his Republicans on board?
Well, let me just tell you, I didn't even understand why he gave a speech. I mean, since when, and maybe I'm just forgetting, okay? But I don't remember when the President of the United States gets up and gives a speech, and then the Speaker is allowed equal time. I don't understand that.
Right,
so
this isn't a State of the Union. Yeah.
No, it's not a State of the Union, and it's not a campaign. So why, the Speaker is not equal to the President of the United States, so I don't even understand why he gave a speech to begin with.
Right. Well, and particularly, like I say, when we're such a critical, a crisis here, to just say something that's just patently and provably untrue. Obviously, we wouldn't be in this position if we had a bipartisan solution already.
Yeah, and I just have to believe that if it were left to Speaker Boehner, we probably would have had a bipartisan solution.
Mm-hmm.
I think the real deal is the right wing of his caucus, the Tea Party folks, and apparently they're going to be having a big rally on Capitol Hill today, and I suppose, I don't know this, but I suppose the focus of their rally will be telling Tea Party members in the House not to vote for anything, which is just completely irresponsible.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like our nation is on a cliff in a car, and the car is teetering over falling over, and we will see whether or not a hardcore ideology will push the car over the cliff.
Yeah, well, listen, we've made every movie car analogy that you just said all rolled into one this morning.
Okay.
But it's really true, and I think that, you know, I've had everyone from Ali Velshi to Christine Romans from CNN, I mean, obviously all financial experts that are really nervous that, you know, people are saying this is not a joke anymore.
And you know, I think that they have confused the public so much that that they have successfully collapsed the deficit with the debt ceiling. They're two separate issues. We should raise the debt ceiling just like we did seven times under the Bush administration. And just think about it. Remember how opposed Democrats were to President Bush? Did they ever hold the debt ceiling hostage? And frankly, did the American public even know what the debt ceiling was two years ago?
Right. And my producer was just saying some, you know, of his friends that are not politically aware are just now sort of paying attention, going, what's going on? Like, what?
Who knew about a debt ceiling until they chose to use that to push through policies that they wouldn't have any other opportunity to do? Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, but the problem now is, you know, we're talking about the fact that we may already be downgraded. I mean, it may already be too late in some ways. How do you see this playing out? I know it's a tough question to ask.
I actually, you know, having gone through similar madness in California, I actually think at the end of the day that enough Republicans will come to their senses. Not everybody, enough. The Tea Party might hold out, but the Tea Party's not the majority of the caucus. So I think enough Republicans will come to their senses, and then I think that they will be matched by Democrats and that we'll get something through the House. But I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen until August 1st.
God, I know. This really is just a nail-biting time, isn't it? I mean,
it's just irresponsible. That's all it is to it.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, you don't have to be a conspiracy theory congresswoman to go, wow, it seems like they really want to harm the U.S. economy for political gain. Because the worse things go, the better for them politically against the president in 2012.
Exactly. And you know what? I just can't let myself go there.
Because
I have to work with these folks. And, you know, for example, I just finished doing an interview with one of my Republican colleagues who I sharply disagree with. And before the interview started, you know, I was talking to him about potential legislation we could work on together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And then it's like they got to turn it on for their Tea Party base. And it just, but like I say, this is even different than the government shutdown. I mean, this is really worldwide financial catastrophe we're on the edge of here.
How about this? Ironically, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, everybody around the country are going to, in essence, have their taxes raised because the interest rates are going to go up.
Thank you.
So
it's what they've, and that's
have to pay more.
Right. And it's what they keep screaming about taxes.
Exactly.
You know?
It would be like if overnight you did something and all three credit agencies, you know, lowered your score from a 700 to a 300, and then the interest rates on everything you owe, all your credit cards and your mortgages, shot up overnight. That's what they're gambling.
Well, and Congresswoman, they're of course accusing the president of playing politics by not wanting this short-term deal. I mean, every credit agency, every financial expert, every economist has said we don't want a short-term deal. 6 months is going to, you know, if we're back here again, that's not giving, the financial markets the certainty they need, right?
I think that's just their way of, because if you remember, they tried to do that with the continuing resolution, too. They wanted to do a continuing resolution 3 weeks at a time, and every time they came to the table, they demanded more cuts. So if you can't get, you know, $10 trillion worth of cuts in one shot, then you can, you know, do it over four or five times of raising the debt ceiling. And I think it's very disingenuous and just completely irresponsible to play with the U.S. economy that way, to play with the world economy that way.
So, Congresswoman, what happens tomorrow, do you think? So,
what happens tomorrow is that Boehner will clean up his proposal that, you know, was scored too low, so his caucus was going to get upset with him. What I hope happens tomorrow is that he will abandon the notion of having a proposal and allow the proposal to be adopted that I hope the Senate will vote on. And in that way, we don't have to go through the silliness of him doing a proposal when he has already been told that his proposal is dead on arrival in the Senate. Now, if you know that ahead of time, why would you take all of us through doing a proposal tomorrow?
Yeah, thank you. Well, we're out of time. All right, and we're out of time here. Representative Karen Bass, terrific to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All righty. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love e-cards.
Oh, I can't. I can't wait to upgrade to the new Apple operating system and not be able to tell the difference. This heat is making me sweat like an 80-year-old media mogul on his way to hell. And today's forecast calls for near record swamp ass.
Yeah, what could?
People have swamp ass in many parts of the country.
Absolutely.
Hot.
Swamp crack.
It's hot in here because
people
it's
are growing their own mosquitoes.
It's days with health. That's
terrible. Spontaneous life creating in parietal regions all over the
world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got butt skeeters. Dang it.
It's like that.
Okay, that's a t-shirt. We got to.
Like that.
I got butt skeeters.
It's like that hot, salty water on one of, you know, Saturn's moons.
I'm just picturing Jim's butt skeeters now. Okay, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Check it out at Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Lots of big shows coming up. Aisha Tyler in for Hal just for August, Santa Fe and Detroit coming up. And then back in September, we're talking Asheville. We're talking, dear God. And then the extravaganza of October, which is Seattle and Los Angeles and San Francisco. Okay. Flarfin. Oh, by the way.
Harlem 4, hello.
Hello. Tony in Jacksonville, request. Hal, it's for you.
Oh, okay.
With Hal heading overseas and being out of pocket, I'm pleading with you to ask him for a favor. Eric Cantor, Orgasm, and Marcus Bachman singing I Need a Hero.
Oh. Wow, at the same time?
I don't.
That's painful.
Well, but you can, you know.
Let's do them both. Because I need a hero. That's how we're doing this debt negotiation. I don't need the president. The president was elected to lead. John Boehner was put in charge of the Republican Party in the House. I'm leading from the back seat. I've been holding out for a hero, and I think...
You know what? I think he's touching himself right now.
Where are all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? I'm over here.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's so close to being speaker, he's touching himself and having an orgasm right now. He sees Boehner going down.
This whole debt crisis thing.
God, I love
with
me.
My haircut.
I love me so much.
It's hard as a rock and sharp as a tack.
All right.
My haircut. What are you looking at?
Why, it's a love letter from Leslie, the former official phone sex operator of the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, no. People at work. Stephanie Mooks,
I've always thought they would.
I'm pretty much despairing lately. Your show, one of the last few remaining joys in my life. Oh, boy.
Wow,
I'm telling you, if your sanity's hinging on me.
Tell me about
it. Fortunately, I renewed my annual Stephcast subscription when I was still employed. Oh, thank God. Things aren't that bad.
Exactly. Pay the year in advance. That way you save yourself Sophie's Choice later on in the year.
I honestly don't know what kind of person would destroy the economy of this country and the rest of the world as well. We're just trying to gain political power in the future and to get the uppity black man out of office. Do they not care about the suffering they will cause? No.
Computer says no.
They don't, Leslie, clearly.
Nah.
About the millions of lives that were ruined just for their own selfish gain, once again.
Computer says no.
They don't care. In the meantime, I still have my Stephcast to listen to and bring some hope and happiness to me.
Yeah, I think...
Thank you, Leslie.
I'm not going to lie. I think they do care, but in the wrong direction.
Yes,
I think
they're going
for
the wrong
suffering.
Way, I'm pretty sure. We are in the Pinto in the back, and we've fallen asleep, and we've woken up. Mom and Dad are drunk, and they're driving.
You're going the wrong way!
What's happening, Mom and Dad?
How do we know which way we're going?
What do you, huh? How come we're in a...
It's amazing.
A game of chicken?
Has Naomi Klein been kidnapped or something?
Yeah.
It seems like she should be on the TV.
Every day.
What did I just say?
All right. Yet another... Oh, this is a thanks. A unsolicited testimonial regarding my watch guy, Vic, and my shoe guy.
Oh.
A thanks from Goldsmith Guy. Of Stephanie. Hi, Steph. Can I be the official Goldsmith Guy? Stephanie. Sure you can. Sean. Thanks for supporting your local watch guy, Vic, your shoe guy, and the crafts guys and gals alike. We do appreciate the appreciation. Thanks to Obama's stimulus. Yay! Our eclectic crew of craft guys and girls are hanging in there. If business continues as well as it has, we'll eventually like to add a talented craft guy or gal to our team. We currently have a Muslim clock. This sounds like a joke, but it isn't. We have a Muslim clock dealer, a Mormon clockmaker, an agnostic jeweler, a Jewish watchmaker, an evangelical Christian watchmaker, jeweler working together, whistling kumbaya as we tinker and weld and wind and soldier and snarf coffee through our noses thanks to the Stephcast. Only for
I love it. What the appreciation of your appreciation appreciate?
Yeah, exactly. My wife, we can't wait to see y'all at October 22nd at the L.A. Sexy Liberal Show. P.S. Christine would like to know if the lovely Mrs. Fugelsang will be accompanying John to the show. She told me that John brings out the slut in her. She will refrain if Mrs. F. And, yeah, I think the ball,
nice.
I think the ball and chain's coming.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
But listen, Hal and John like to, you know, they'd like to fill in for each other in such emergencies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we play swapsies.
Sure.
What?
Right.
Huh?
What?
What?
Huh?
What?
Huh?
I don't know.
What? I don't even know what that means. I just made it
all
up.
All right. We are having a very stressful time here in the United States of America. However, at least you weren't attacked by a kangaroo. Two Australian police officers have used pepper spray to fight off a rogue kangaroo that has attacked an elderly woman in her backyard.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That is a bad day when you're attacked by a kangaroo in your backyard.
If it's a dingo, that's
and
one
you
thing.
You think we're feeling jumpy over here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's
get it. Get jumping.
Word.
Oh, Flavin.
Oh, heavens. Let's go to Kirsten in Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kirsten.
Hey, Steph. How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I'm extremely embarrassed that I have the same accent as Michelle Bachman. I am trying really hard to discipline and pray myself out of it.
Yeah, but you're missing a couple of key points. One is the stilted confusion when your ideas hit your tongue. And these sort of stagger, step, attention, one word delivered, kind of monotone.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Morse code version of talking she uses.
Yes.
But other than that, you're fine. Yeah,
you know, I'm really upset about my Congress and my Senate. I'm an avid voter. I watch things. I try to be intelligent, and I try to be up to date on what's going on so I can make good decisions. And what I would like to know from my little southern town in Arizona, where I have a very conservative small town, which is very distressing in itself, but I have patients in my clinic. I'm a nurse practitioner in private practice here, and my patients still think that Obamacare killed their Medicare, and they still think that Obama is responsible for all the stuff that may happen to their Medicare. And what I'd like to know is, what the hell are these people doing, and what are we doing
watching
wrong?
Fox. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, what can we do to disabuse them of this? I mean,
Rupert Murdoch goes down.
Well, first of all, they don't understand what disabuse means, so that's our first sticking point.
You're ice skating uphill linguistically as it is.
That's all you can do, right? I mean, all we can do in our whatever little tiny corner of the universe, that's why Hal and I, we were saying, we get annoyed. I know we get called a happy clappy and Obama apologist,
right.
But I'm not using my little corner of the universe to beat up on the president. I mean,
especially
like Randy Rhodes said, it's like he is being so smart about this. You are going to get revenue raises anyway. The Bush tax cuts are going to expire.
Right.
Stop screaming. Like, we just, you know, we have to get this debt ceiling raised. I mean, it's...
Look, they don't... Let's be real honest. This is their way of culling the herd. They have a cull-the-herd mentality. Mm-hmm. They are for it. They think there are useless eaters, as Henry Kissinger would say, and
right.
they are using this as an opportunity to shake you from the rolls, to essentially keep you from getting any... The social safety net has allowed the weak and unnecessary to gain too strong a foothold in America. That's the way Pat Buchanan thinks.
Right.
That's the way Grover Norquist thinks. That's the way John Boehner and Eric Cantor think.
I'm with whoever it was in the New York Times. We should all sign a pledge to never, ever vote for anyone that signs a stupid pledge, because that's just stupid.
Right.
And who the hell's Grover Norquist? Anyway, Marcus in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marcus.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy day to y'all. I hope you're happily humping along.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right, so we got the religious right, you know, bashing, you know, gay, lesbian, and saying that it's a choice. Well, I think the religious right needs to have the same rights as gay and lesbian groups, because after all, religion is a choice.
Yep.
So, you know, if homosexuality is a choice and religion is a choice, why can't we all have the same rights since we're making choices?
Thank you. Oh, by the way, can you take your organ out for me? That Larry Klayman guy is suing Rachel Maddow.
Right.
Oh.
Well, he sues everybody. But
$50 million on principle.
On behalf of Bradley Dean, this is what he wrote. Bradley Dean and You Can Run But You Cannot Hide International are not going to roll over. Just watch what my clients do in the next week. I can assure you Rachel Maddow, MSNBC, and their ultra-left gay and frequently atheist comrades will see that Bradley, like Jesus, is no pushover. Conservative Christians and Jews will win this culture war. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't think Jesus would have declared a culture war.
No.
No.
I think he would have tried to move people by the strength of his message and the power of his heart. instead
that's
legislating
talk.
Their rights out of existence.
That's crazy talk.
That's what the Old Testament did.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Maggie Gallagher, the National Organization for Marriage.
Yeah.
Please, that must mean the real kind, right? Uh-huh. The opposite marriage. Right. Sure.
What was new in New York is that the Republican Party helped pass a gay marriage bill.
Yes.
And we're going to have to reverse that. What Republican elites are threatening to do is shut down the Republican Party as an effective vehicle. So there'll be no party willing to stand for marriage. So it's mission critical here. But the good news is I think we can do that. And I think it's going to be a bloody mess in New York. But after the 2012 elections, it's going to be very clear to the Republican Party that it's a bad idea to vote for gay marriage if you're a Republican.
Are you sure that wasn't Betty Bowers?
America's Best Christian?
Best Christian, yeah.
It that could be. Like, it's hard to tell the characters apart, the real ones from the...
Sounds like a drag act to me.
Bloody mess. Okay. All right. Steve Ducey of Ducey and Ducier.
You know, just the fact that he made the speech itself shows that things aren't going well for him. Mm. But for him to inadvertently tank the economy by, you know, amping up the possibility of a downgrade, that's... I'm sure that wasn't intended, but I think politics were saying, get out there and talk to him.
Oh.
Huh?
Huh?
See what the president did? You see what he did now? He's caused a downgrade.
Well, by making
a speech,
he talked about it, and so I think that he caused everything bad
to
happen.
Osama bin Laden stated as one of his...
Didn't he watch The Secret? He shouldn't have said it, because now he's
creating. Osama bin Laden stated as one of his goals was to bankrupt the United States. So essentially saying that Boehner line of, we're broke. Mm. We can't work on it. When, by the way, we can. We're not broke.
Yeah. Yes.
Is actually playing into the terrorists' hands. It's making it look like, I mean, world over, they're playing those clips of we're broke.
Guess what else he did, by the way? By mentioning that perhaps we really shouldn't do this because people's Social Security checks aren't going to come, and that would be a real consequence.
No matter what happens with the debt talks, President Obama stirred the wrath of grandmas everywhere when he threatened their Social Security checks. In fact, after having their Social Security and Medicare thrown on the debt reduction table, angry seniors may now threaten Mr. Obama at the polls. Should entitlement programs be in any budget deal?
What? It's the Republicans that want to cut all the...
They don't know the difference between threatening and saying there's a threat. That's like,
the president said, I don't want to cash your Social Security checks, personally.
Yeah, standing on the beach and yelling shark is not the same thing
as being a shark.
As carrying a shark at someone and ramming it into them.
Yeah. 18 minutes after the hour. We continue Right Wing World Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the spooky Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. Representative John Garamendi coming up after the bottom of the hour. Martha McCollum on Fox News as we continue Right Wing World. I think her point, Hal, is if you old people would hurry up and die, we could fight more wars, for God's sakes.
I couldn't help thinking, well, if we weren't in such a precarious situation and hadn't overextended ourselves to such an incredible extent where we are sending out 80 million checks a month, the U.S. government, wouldn't we have been able to handle those things, like the two wars, in a much better, stronger fiscal position? And isn't that where we really want to be as a country, where a war doesn't bust us?
The
wars were on the books.
Yeah.
They weren't even paid for.
And they were optional. These were ultimately the police action that took out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, thank you.
Could have handled this years
ago. Can you imagine if Obama was in charge and we did that first?
Yeah.
And we didn't invade Iraq or Afghanistan?
And no one murdered Pat Tillman?
All right. Oh, an O'Reilly Factor promo. You got to love those.
What's the motive? Why is the liberal press playing up the Christian angle in the Norway shooter case? Plus, say what? Do everyday Americans really understand what D.C. politicians are even debating over the debt crisis? Stossel takes it to the streets for answers on the O'Reilly Factor. Yeah.
Why? Only because he mentioned his Christianity 75,000 times in his manifesto. Why would the liberal media even mention that? We would never mention if someone was Muslim who blew something up or killed people.
Blonde, Nordic, blue-eyed, Muslim, Arab.
Obfuscating. I can't
Look,
there they go again, mentioning facts again.
I'm trying to do a sales pitch here. You can't... I'm trying to sell one particular type of car. You can't mention other cars in my sales pitch. It ruins the whole thing.
Was Hitler really a liberal?
Let's finish with Rush Limbaugh.
I think it's starting to become obvious now that we're just not that into Obama. Barack Obama is a man of uncommon self-admiration. Quite thin-skinned. I've told you people, this guy's got a chip on his shoulder, and it goes back to the way he was, well, probably born, and then certainly the way that he was raised.
He's an angry black man.
I didn't realize.
Sure, the glad boner ran his plan by Limbaugh. I think that he's the one that should be, who's gone on record as saying, I hope the president fails. All right. That concludes Right Wing World. Oh, by the way, Kevin in Rochester wants to know, Steph, why aren't right wingers talking about global warming now that it's been hotter than this summer?
Hotter than what?
The two things, not the twig, the berries. I've just never heard that phrase, hotter than...
Really?
You've never heard that phrase before.
Taint necessarily.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
They claim snowstorms during February prove that global warming is a myth. Where are all the douchebag Republican comments now? Thank you, Kevin.
Global warming is... Wow, it's hot.
Boy, that's hot.
Hotter than...
Oh, boy.
Okay, I mean, I think that would be referential. Eskimo doesn't quite work.
I've heard a witch's, but
yeah,
not
colder than a.
Yeah, that's cold.
Gene, yes, exactly. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. As the official Stephanie Miller psychologist, I have a question about Marcus Bachmann, both legally and ethically. I've been looking, and I can't find any place that tells me that he's a licensed mental health professional. There are several different licensures in the state. So I'm wondering about his use of counseling.
He's an ex-gay life coach. Thing.
Yeah. Well, he calls himself a clinical therapist. He advertises in the Woodbury Directory as a providing Christian counseling. And in the state of Minnesota, there are laws that protect certain words. I mean, you can't call yourself a lawyer if you're not a licensed person.
Right.
You can't call yourself a psychologist if you're not a licensed psychologist. And you can't call yourself a counselor if you're not a licensed professional clinical counselor.
Right.
So I'm wondering... if he has a license, and if so, what is it? Is he practicing legally? And the other thing I'm wondering about is his ethics. There is
or
an
lack
ethical...
thereof, or existence of.
Yes.
Or, right.
There's an ethical principle for psychologists that says that psychologists don't make false, deceptive, or fraudulent statements regarding the scientific or clinical basis for or results or degree of success at their service.
Do you ever get the feeling that some people go into therapy areas because they might have their own issues of some sort? They're
what are you doing right here?
Nothing.
Well, yes, either they're either there to help themselves or help other people.
Yeah.
And
I've met both.
it's kind of like musicians who work at Guitar Center just for the deals. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, this guy's not really into helping me. He's just trying to work here for 6 months so he can buy stuff for 60% off.
Tracy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Trace.
Hi. You guys have really made my whole day because watching all of the Republican nonsense is just depressing as all get out. So thank you for
three
hours of laughing.
That's what we do. That's why we're here, ma'am.
And I appreciate it. But I don't know if you had seen the New York Times article today about the Chamber of Commerce, which spent millions to get a lot of these teabaggers into office, and now they're trying to figure out why they can't control crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Boner can't control his caucus, Jim. It's like a squiggly wiggly.
My caucus was blowing in the wind.
I bet you no one goes in the bathroom with him at the same time in the house. I'm just saying, it's like a fire hose. It's like a squiggly wiggly out of control. It's just... 29 minutes after the
tranquilizer
hour.
Tranquilizer dart for his caucus.
Exactly. Someone needs to shoot that sucker with a tranquilizer dart, just saying. Right back with Representative
Bring
John
it down like a bull
Caramendi.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Genius! What is it?
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're doing the neck dance, Helen, on Ustream. Hi, everybody. 34 minutes. I know. Me too.
I'm a migraine shelter here.
There's nothing Marcus Bachman about that other than the fact that in Minneapolis, that was the time.
Yeah.
Loosely related. Well done. Probably from the depths of your, like, hidden little nuggets of pop culture that have managed to lodge themselves
wires.
In there, like popcorn between two teeth.
Yep. Have, like, flapping wires, like, soaked in Chardonnay that all
in there
now and again
somewhere.
They disconnect. I'm like, yes. Josh in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Steph, I'm going to be nattering the Bob of negativism for a second. What proof do we have that Obama is going to allow the tax cuts to expire? It's going to be
He doesn't allow, they just do. They expire by law.
They have to re-up them.
They were supposed to a year ago, weren't they? What happened there?
Sort of. The extension is a limited act. They have to actually be voted on again. There was like provision where they can be extended, but not indefinitely. So they
have to redo it every couple of years.
Yeah, but this time around, apparently they really do go dead and will need an act of Congress to basically resubmit them.
Sure, but don't the Republicans still control Congress?
They control the House. But they would have to get through the Senate, and they won't. That's the feeling.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, thank you.
That's certainly the hope. Obviously, there's issues with it, but I mean, that's a big deal.
I wonder why they're caving so soon on the 14th Amendment solution.
I think because it doesn't give you a position of negotiation. If you could just do that, then basically they're going to go, well, then we're not going to show up to the table, and it'll be all on you, and then we'll just use it as a hammer. Go, all he wants to do is raise the debt ceiling. He wanted to do it free and clear. He didn't negotiate.
Who we should ask. Representative John Garamendi.
Oh, genius.
Who is on the line with us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Well, it is a good morning.
It is. Tell us why. Please give us some reason.
Hey, because the sun came up. And we can be forever hopeful that the present situation with regard to this debt ceiling is really out of control.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Congressman, I don't know if you heard us discussing before during the break here is whether, in fact, the president is going to have to use the 14th Amendment. What is, in your opinion, going to happen here?
Well, I think he needs to be prepared to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he ought to begin talking about it. I know that many of us have put this issue on the table and said the president has this option. It's available to him, and he ought to be using it. I think one of your previous speakers said it increases his leverage, and in my view, it does.
Yeah.
And it's the fail-safe, and it ought to be prepared. If I were his chief of staff, I'd be getting that executive order together right now.
You know, Congressman, you were great on my friend Ed Schultz's show, but, I love when he asked you about Social Security, if you'd support cuts. You said no, and hell no. There's no way, there's absolutely no way we should let this happen. We're being held a hostage. There's a simple way of doing this, a clean vote to lift the debt limit. Is that do you think there still is a possibility of that?
Yes, I do, and I think that my colleagues and I are preparing that process right now. We're getting the legislation together. And we're also preparing a discharge petition so that as this weekend comes upon us and as the Republicans get more and more wrapped up around the axle and unable to do anything, that we put that before the House and see if it where it is on Monday.
Well, and
and it's the way to do it.
And you've stated very clearly this is about jobs. It's been about jobs since 2008. We've gotten into this deficit issue, which can only be solved by getting people back to work. We need a jobs agenda. You've been working with your Make It in America agenda. Tell us about that.
Well, two things here. First of all, let's understand what the Republicans have been doing since they took control in January, and that is they put one bill after another through the House of Representatives. Fortunately, all of them killed in the Senate. But each one of those decreases employment in the United States. It's about, and if their most recent budget were to go forward, that is $110 billion cut, beginning in October, 700,000 jobs would be lost between October 2011 and September 31st of 2012. Another 700, nearly a three-quarters of a million jobs down the tank. So there's got to be an alternative. We've got to build this economy, and part of it is to rebuild the American manufacturing sector. We can do that by simply doing several things. First of all,
eliminate those tax policies that encourage American corporations to offshore jobs. We did that once, not one Republican vote to eliminate $12 billion of subsidies. There's another $10 billion or so that are still out there. We need to also make sure that our tax money is used to buy American-made equipment. Solar panels, we're subsidizing solar panels that are put on roofs in California that are manufactured in China. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's my tax dollar that's supporting China. What are we doing that for? Similarly with wind turbines and other kinds of technology. Trains and buses for the metro system in Los Angeles, are those made in America? It's our tax money. Are those pieces of equipment made in America and made overseas? So it's really a strategy of a multiplicity strategy. We need infrastructure. We ought to have an infrastructure bank. I know that CalPERS and CalSTRS, these huge pension funds, would be delighted to invest in an infrastructure bank if we had one, but we can't get the Republicans to go along.
Congressman, you know, the other thing you said last night, I'm quoting, it's just, you know, again, goes right to the heart of it. You said we need to solve the deficit with a long-term program that is based on tax increases on the wealthy. There is no way in the world those Wall Street barons who've managed to rip this country off are getting off with a 15% income tax. It's just not right. You know, when you've got
to... Did I say that?
You did. You're awesome. But I, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Boehner's, you know, redoing his thing. He's going to... So now what happens?
Well, I think it's going to not have sufficient Republican support. And I think it's going to die before it even gets to a vote on the floor. And if it does get to a vote on the floor, it's going to die in the Senate. But this is where it's all backwards. It is totally backwards. We've allowed this entire debate to descend into the depths of laying people off. His budget puts at risk current jobs that are not just government jobs. These are contract jobs out there building roads, building, putting together airports, all kinds of, you know, private sector jobs that are supported with various government contracts. So that's where this thing has gone. And his budget clearly puts at risk Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security because it calls for cuts in the mandatory programs. We know that Social Security is not a current problem. It is the cash cow for the federal government. It actually runs a surplus. That surplus is used to finance other options, other programs across the federal government spectrum.
Well, and Congressman, I hope that, you know, you just, you know, you and your colleagues keep fighting the good fight for us, because you've seen poll after poll, the American people agree with us. You know, the cuts should not come from those programs. They should, you know, they reflect exactly, even on this debt, this latest poll today, it reflects exactly the president's plan as to how to do this.
Let me pull one more thing. I stepped out of the House Armed Services Committee, where I'm a member, and we have three generals in there, only one of which says that the Afghanistan war isn't making any sense. We need to seriously reduce our footprint there. The other two generals are basically saying more, more, more. It's as though if we pour more men, equipment, and money into Afghanistan, somehow we're going to change that entire society and the war effort there. And so, you know, my view is, no, let's get it down to 10,000 special operation troops in Afghanistan. Go after the terrorists and forget about nation building.
Congressman, we were just saying, Hal and I were saying before the break, that, you know, if President Obama had been in charge and we had done this special ops thing right away, if you went way back, well, we wouldn't have had to get into Afghanistan or Iraq, would we? I mean...
Well, exactly so. But I think the president's also made a serious mistake listening to his generals who say, you give me more time, give me more money, give me more men, and we'll win. And that, unfortunately, he adopted that policy. And I think that it's up to the rest of us, the American people, and those of us in Congress to say, no, that's not going to be the solution. We're going to move our troops out of there. We're going to keep a small troop behind. We'll continue to support the government.
And if we wind down these wars, as the president obviously wants, ultimately, and let the Bush tax cuts expire, guess what? We don't have the deficit problem that we're talking about today.
Exactly right.
And we can focus on job stuff like you're doing. Representative, really great to talk to you. You are from the great state of California. You're my congressman.
Well, so, I am honored to have you as a constituent.
All right. Thanks so much for taking time for us. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. All right. He's awesome. All right. Oh, my goodness. It's the end of an era. Newt Gingrich has closed his Tiffany's account. So he can spend more money on the eyelid removal surgery for his lovely wife.
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. That's Is that why he closed it? Yeah.
He said
frankly,
that.
It's making me look bad, frankly.
He said that he doesn't understand what the big deal was about it. He said, I love my wife. Frankly,
so can you for just $29.95.
This
bills are incredible.
Currently, until she gets sick. Right. I'm happy we're able to do nice things.
I love my wife.
And
I'm
so
happy
can
we're
you.
Able to do nice things. Oh, well, isn't that nice for you that you're able to do nice things? Hardly anyone else's economy is, but that's nice.
Yeah. Honey, when I lean over and I hand you this, I want you to know this little blue box means something to me. This is quite temporary. This whole thing could... This gives me an
out. This may be the last bubble you get from me before you get a sneeze.
You might be
and
upset
then you're
with
gone.
Me now that I'm leaving, but what about all those blue boxes? That's what I'm saying. I paid for my exit.
Mm. It's kind of like when you have to leave the restaurant and you can't afford to pay the tabs, so you wash dishes. He's basically doing that with Tiffany boxes in a relationship.
Rick Perry urged inching closer to 2012 bid. Governor from Texas to think God wants him to be president. What could possibly go wrong with
that?
What could possibly go wrong? He's hosting a steady stream of Republican supplicants in Austin. His would-be organization stepping up its outreach. They're both talking to early key state operatives and players. Poised to shake up the presidential race, Rick Perry, as it increasingly appears likely, he will launch a White House bid. His ramp-up has become eerily reminiscent of the front porch strategy used by then Governor George Bush.
I hope the rest of his campaign mirrors it exactly, because then people will recognize it for the ridiculous threat to life as we know it that it is. He was just running on a secession. I don't know how do you run on something you wanted to dissolve?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kidding about that. I want to be president of all of the states.
Yeah,
now.
It's like being in a restaurant and going, this place is terrible. I want to see the manager. No, I'm writing a terrible review about this on my Yelp account. This place is awful. No, I don't hold my voice down. Everybody here needs to know that the food here is crap. Are you the manager? Are you guys hiring? Can I get an application?
All right, and finally, before we break, Democratic Representative David Wu of Oregon resigned from the House yesterday. Just say one thing? Not that we don't have sex scandals on our side. Ours are just weird. He said he did nothing illegal with this girl who was 18 at the time of the incident, but he sent her a picture of him in a tiger outfit.
He sent everybody the picture of his tiger outfit.
He's fully clothed. He's just wearing it.
Is he a pervert? Is that what we're finding out?
That's what I'm wondering. Are we talking pervert?
A furry?
Yeah. A furry?
Yeah, we call them perverts. Yeah.
Perverts.
Yeah.
He's just smiling and waving in a tiger outfit.
It's just like a normal mascot outfit, except one extra hole.
Tigger, the wonderful thing.
Yeah, all right.
The top's made out of rubber. The bottom's out of those rings.
Listen, Hal Sparks has spoken of his experience being groped when he worked
21 years old. It's what you get when you don't drink. You go to Disneyland on your birthday, and I was squeezed inappropriately by either Chip or Dale. I have a hard time telling them apart. And in a lineup, it'd be brutal.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Is it red nose or black nose? The whole thing happened so fast. That'd be an
They're
SVU. And Mariska Hargitay would be going, just think. Just calm down.
Calm down.
It's not your fault.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Thank
you.
47 minutes after
the
hour.
With both of them. Is that what you're saying? Yikes.
Back with the Celebrity Stack next. Hump Days with Hal continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wait, is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes.
Are we human or are we dancer?
Our minds want to know. We're in the waiting moments of updates with Al Sparks and Hal's going to Edinburgh whole month of August and leaving me alone.
Yeah.
Maybe the last time, I don't know.
And then he will be back.
I will.
In September.
Yes. Kinds of things. Where I start Lab Rats, my new series on the Disney Channel.
Yay.
That we start filming the end of the month.
What's important about that?
It's in my contract.
Only the fact that you continue to do
Stephanie Miller.
It's in your contract.
It's in my contract that I can still do. Wow. David Howe. Do I love you or what?
I love you back.
Yeah.
You're the only one I know that can you can service me sexually and give me financial and mortgage advice at the same time.
Oftentimes,
which you've done this morning already.
Yeah.
I got it. I copped a feel and I got good mortgage advice.
Simultaneously, as I like to call it.
Listen, forget the hostage crisis. Kim Kardashian has psoriasis, for God's sake.
Sorry, I couldn't. I don't know if people at home could hear that over the clicking of my jaw from the yawning that just happened when you mentioned her name.
Jim, is it as bad as eczema or seborrhea? Yeah, is the heartbreak as bad? I'm not really even sure what psoriasis is. However, she wants us to know that she has psoriasis.
She's
people don't
up.
Understand the pressure on me to look perfect, Kim said. When I gain a pound from the headlines, imagine what the tabloids would do to me if they saw all these spots.
What?
Okay.
Oh, my
In one of my
God.
Naked sex videos. Well, then
okay.
We shouldn't be making those.
Also, in the midst of, oncoming worldwide financial catastrophe, I think it's important to everyone that Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton are friends again.
Oh, thank God.
That feud they partied in Malibu this past weekend, buried the hatchet.
That's great. Is there,
the
when does the video
Paris's
come out?
Hot tub. They had a mini dance party.
When does the video come out?
I think Armageddon has arrived because not once did anyone see Lindsay take a sip of alcohol. Is the rapture a nigh?
A nigh?
Nigh upon us?
Louis
nigh? All right. Oh, boy, this is going to hurt him. Steven Spielberg got fined by the Italian Coast Guard. He got too close to the shore on his 280-foot yacht. They said, what's the matter of you? 172 euros. Yikes. He's only worth $3 billion. That's going to...
Wow.
Ouch. Hey, how's about this economy? You want to hear these fun facts? His $360 million yacht is equipped with a helipad, two swimming pools, a spa, a massage room, two home cinemas, and travels with a crew of about 25.
What a dump. That's it, really? Seriously, you're the man behind everything from Raiders to E.T., Schindler's
He's
List.
Not going to need a bigger boat. That was from Jaws. You're going to need a bigger boat, but you can't get a bigger boat than that, a big boat. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm grief struck with you leaving, so I'm a little.
No, it's hard.
You know what you and I should do before you go? We should both get matching Jesus tattoos like Justin Bieber and his dad.
Huh?
Oh.
You know, Leviticus 19:28 explicitly says, "Do not cut your bodies for the dead, or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." So I don't.
Don't cut your bodies for the dead?
Yeah. That's what it says. Well, you know, that's what I do most of the day is
you
read
mean,
Leviticus.
Like, get circumcised because it's a tradition.
Tradition.
Wait a minute.
Tradition.
They have Jesus tattoos, which seems ironic since it says in the Bible.
Jesus tattoo.
Leviticus was Old Testament. Well,
that's old school.
We're
kicking it new school
Jesus
now.
Jesus is pro-suicide girl. He's big on the tats, you know.
Sure. All right, and finally, in Celebrity Stack.
If Jesus were alive today, he'd have massive sleeves and a big Mary on his back.
Have you driven up Sunset lately? Zsa Zsa's hubby has put up a giant billboard. That's his not-so-subtle anniversary gift. Prince Friedrich von Anhalt, he bought Zsa Zsa the biggest anniversary card he could find in the form of a giant billboard overlooking Sunset Boulevard. He says he spent $68,000 to erect the 44-foot billboard for 1 month in the heart of Hollywood. The couple is celebrating their 25th anniversary, August 14th, with a party at their home. And it says we're all invited, I guess.
Nice. And he's also going to procreate with the billboard. That's his plan.
Really?
He's going to...
Yeah, that's subtle. That's classy. Not since he was found naked and handcuffed to his steering wheel on the 405 has there been such a classy with a K story. Preach.
Could happen to anyone.
Who hasn't that happened to? Grant in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with House Sparks. Hello.
Hi. How you guys?
Good. Hi.
What I'd like to say is that, I've known my whole adult life that the Republicans hate veterans like myself. They hate working people. They hate old people. But what I don't understand is why the Democrats...
They don't really
Obama,
hate you. They just don't care about you.
Well, that's true. Well, there's some of them that hate me. I live in Jim Inhofe's district, and he hates me.
Yeah.
Because I asked him how his igloo was holding up at Home Depot about a month ago when he had that igloo up there in Washington, D.C., and I asked him how his igloo was holding up. But anyway...
He doesn't seem like a man of great humor, in my opinion, but all right, go ahead.
Well, you should look, just a side note, you should look and see what he did when he was mayor back in Tulsa, where I live. That's where I'm from, is Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I don't understand is I don't know why the Democrats and Barack Obama now want me to compete with Mexican domiciled trucks for my job.
Hmm. How do you mean?
Well, they gave the Mexican-owned trucks the right to run the whole United States, which is not impossible until a month ago. Mm. And Barack Obama and his administration are the ones who signed that into law.
Yeah, I'd heard about that. Oh, dear. We always get these calls right when I have, like, 30 seconds left.
And, yeah.
Yes.
We will discuss it upon my return.
You have a month to research all of that, knowing all the details of it. All right. HalSparks.com is the website.
Yeah. At HalSparks on Twitter. I'll be you streaming a little bit. I'm going to try and call in over the course of
You are?
Yes.
Of course, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yes. My time. It won't be... You guys will be fine.
And if you already miss them like I do, go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. All the great shows in the fall. Have a great time, buddy. We're proud of you.
Thank you.
If you're in Scotland, go see Hal's show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm told it's fabulous.
Or in Vegas this weekend. I'm actually in Vegas this weekend at the Hilton.
So fabulous.
Bruce Sanborn Band tonight at the Cinema Bar.
Yes.
Culver City.
We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.